face with Christ. Won't that be wonderful? Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. If someone believes and is in Christ, though his body's in the grave, he's not dead. He lives, for he's one with Christ. This is the account of Lazarus, the Lord raising him from the dead. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. If you're a believer, put your name there, because he loves you too. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things, said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, 2 miles in the margin. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Here's one of them great I ams. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's where that's where we need to be, at the Lord Jesus' feet all the time. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye the stone. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Only believers see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him, and let him go. Let us pray.
Well, open your Bibles with me this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have got some very sick people in the congregation. And a lot of parents have a lot of heartache and a lot of things to face and deal with. And bought a beautiful bouquet of flowers this evening, come out of our garden. It's something to get up and walk around and see all them beautiful things at our place and those pretty flowers and so many different kinds. And Shirley does a good job, doesn't she, putting them together? That's the third one she's made this week. Them flowers are like us. They look really good. But them leaves, them things start falling off and they'll start withering and you have to carry them out and throw them away. But God ain't going to throw us away. No, he's not going to throw us away. Having loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, having loved Donnie, James, Ruby, you can put your names in those things, can't you? You really can. All right, here in 2 Corinthians 5. There from verse 6, I'm going to read down through verse 6 and 9, through 9, three verses. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. As long as we live in this body, we're absent from the Lord. And here's a parenthetical statement that he sticks in here. And if you didn't use that, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So since we are still at home in this body and absent from the Lord, but willing rather to be absent from the body, we'd like to be done with this body and to go be present with the Lord. But while we're still in this body, before we go to be with the Lord, before we're confident that we go to be with him, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're caught between this world of this body and this world that we're going to go see. In this body, we're absent from the Lord. One of these days, we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But while we're here, the apostle says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what he's telling us here. He's talking to us how we walk in this world. The apostle's telling us how he and other believers lived while at home in this body, this earthly tabernacle. He called it a tabernacle. There in verse 1 of chapter 5, called it a tabernacle. And as long as we're in this earthly tabernacle, we're absent from the Lord. And that's why Paul says we're saved by hope. And yet hope that's seen is not hope. For if we see that we've hoped for, then why do we yet hope for it? And Paul was not content to live in a body governed by sight. Since God had given him faith, he didn't want to live by sight. And there's a great, great distinction between walking by faith and walking by sight. He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And what this distinction between walking by faith and walking by sight is, it's the difference between the flesh and the spirit. It's the difference between light and darkness, the day and night, a true hope and a false hope, walking by faith or walking by sight. Now, I readily admit I don't have the ability to say or explain fully what this means, what this text means. But I know it contains a great scriptural and spiritual principle for all of us. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's a fact. That's a fact the apostle states. And it's a position. It's a positive statement. It's a believer's position in this world. And it's a fact stated. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight as long as we're in this body. But before you can walk by faith, you got to have life. Dead men don't walk. And they especially don't walk by faith. We're talking about spiritual things, and that's what the apostle's talking about. And walking by faith, that's a spiritual act. Faith is a spiritual gift. Sight is natural to everybody. But you take a dead man, and I tell you, you can take a dead man, you can position him any way you want to. You can set him up, you can stand him up, you can lie him down, but one thing you can't make him do, you can't make him walk. You can't make him possess life. And that's why the scriptures describe believers as this. They wait on the Lord. They run with patience the race is set before them. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you called. So the first thing before one can walk by faith, God has to give him life. You can't walk by faith if God don't give you life and if God don't give you faith. If God and all that comes by grace. And he read that tonight in John chapter 11. He said, our Lord Jesus Christ said, he that believeth on me shall never die. And they don't. The body dies. That's to be absent from the body. It's to automatically go and be present with the Lord. But until that happens, we walk by faith. And a faith is an active living principle given to a man, but he's got to have life before he can walk by faith. And I'll tell you this, and let me say a few things about walking. We walk by faith. Walking talks about being active. You know, when you're walking, you're being active. There's people that go walking every day for their health. They walk for their health. And we walk. Walk signifies activity. We walk as well as wait at our master's feet at the same time. We labor as our Lord Jesus Christ is rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Paul said here in verse 9. He said, oh, we want to be from the body, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So therefore we labor, we endeavor, that whether we're present with the Lord or absent from the Lord, we may be accepted of him. We want accepted of Christ. We want to know Christ. And so we don't just learn something. We walk patiently, and we don't just learn some things, but we practice what we learn. When we hear something of the gospel, we hear about faith, we try to live by faith, and we practice what we learn. And so walking means activity. Activity. I mean, we wait at the feet of Christ, and yet at the same time we walk. We labor to be present with the Lord, and yet we rest in him at the same time. We're active in whatever we're doing with faith. And let me tell you something else about walking by faith. It means there's progress. Progress. Believers are not marking time. You remember, James, when we was in the army, when you was in the army, I was in the military, they would call you mark time. And you'd stand and you'd march in place. You'd just mark time. And then they'd tell you whether to march or then stop or what, you know. And you'd mark time. Just stand there and mark time. And that believers are not marking time. They're not running in place. No, they're going forward. They're always going forward. They're getting somewhere. The scriptures tells Abraham went out, not knowing where he went. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but for the reproach of Christ. He thought the reproach of Christ was greater than all the riches that was ever in Egypt. That's what walking by faith is. It's not always we're getting somewhere. We're moving. We're progressing. And I tell you, there, you know, a person who never progresses. You know, the scripture says we walk from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from faith to assurance, from assurance to full assurance, from full assurance to full assurance, to the full assurance of understanding. Look in Isaiah 30 with me. Look at this. Look at what Isaiah said here in Isaiah 30. You know, somebody don't grow. You know, if you had a child and that child wasn't growing, wasn't progressing right, you'd want to find out what was wrong with it. And that's the way believers are. They're progressing. They're not stagnant. Their life is not stagnant. We're wanting to grow. We're seeking to grow. We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Look what he said here in Isaiah 30 in verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And listen to this. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, this is the way. Walk in it. And so you see your teachers behind you said, that's the way. Walk that way. Walk in that way. And oh, listen, progress, and I tell you something, progress is made in all the graces that God gives us. I know we ain't the last to see it, but yet we do. We grow in grace. We grow in faith. We grow in assurance. We grow in our understanding of the scriptures. We grow in our understanding of Christ. We grow in our understanding of ourselves. We grow in our understanding of how desperately we need Christ. We grow in our understanding of all of our hope and our and what we have in Christ. We grow in these things. And yet, believers, progress is made. And yet we walk. We walk by faith. And I tell you something else that walking by faith does. It tells us that there's perseverance in walking. There's perseverance in walking. You don't just start and stop, start and stop, start and stop. Or go back. I mean, to walk by faith, that means perseverance. And you know somebody that starts and stops and goes back, that's not walking. That's not walking at all. That's not walking by faith. Look what the apostle said over here in chapter 4 in verse 16 and 17. You know, that's not walking. The believer keeps on walking even when it appears he's not. He says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. This outward man's perishing. Yet the inward man, what's he done? He's renewed every day. Now we have new mercies every morning. God's compassions fail not. We get up and God renews us every single day. Our light affliction, that's just for a moment. But it works for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And though the believer, he keeps on walking even though sometimes it appears he's not, but he is. And let me show you Proverbs chapter, I believe it's 4:18. Look in Proverbs 4:18. This says something about believers walking. And I don't want to, you know, one thing, you know, it seems like to you and me, we don't make any progress. And it don't even look like we're walking, but we are. We're going forward. Believers are going forward. Constantly going forward. I believe that. That's why we get up every day. That's why we say, I've said this so many times to you, if God's blessed anybody any more than me, I've yet to meet him. I could not dream as big as what God has blessed me with in this world. And blessed me with faith and grace and hope and life and righteousness. Called me to be a preacher when the least in the bunch. Most sinfulest man in the building, and yet God gave me, put me in this office. And then taught me the things that he's taught. Who would ever have thunk it in 1,000 years? But we're making progress. We want to move forward to the glory of Christ. We want to seek the Lord. We want to honor God. We want to glorify him. We want to seek to bless him and be a blessing to others around us. That's progress. That's perseverance. We don't get discouraged and sit down and twiddle our thumbs and say, well, boy, I ain't going nowhere. I believe I'll just quit. No. That don't enter our vocabulary. That don't enter our brain. Quit what? You know when we're quit? When we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. Look what he said here in Proverbs 4:18, talking about the walking, persevering in walking. But the path of the just is as a shining light, as that's the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We're in a path. And oh my. And we're pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, a person that stops and starts and starts and stops and goes back, I don't believe they're walking. I don't believe they have life. Huh? And when the apostle says we walk by faith, he means that in our ordinary, everyday life that we live in this world, we walk by faith. Huh? Our ordinary, everyday, whatever we do, we are moved and live by faith. The scripture says the just shall live by faith. You women, when you're at home and you're cooking and cleaning and run your house, you do that by faith. Your mind is on the Lord. You want to do it to the glory of God, the best of your ability. Men work at their jobs in the place that God's put them to work. And they work there by faith. They work there trusting Christ. They work there honoring Christ, hopefully to bring glory to Christ. Paul isn't talking about running or jumping or fighting, but about walking. He means in our, we get up every day and we go about our lives, we walk by faith that day. We walk by faith in whatever we're doing. We're conscious that we're walking. Enoch walked with God. How did he walk with God? He lived for over 300 years. He had a house full of youngins. He had to work back in the day when he didn't have an automobile to go in. He didn't have a good cushion chair to sit in at the church. Didn't have air conditioning. And didn't have heat in the winter except for wood. And he got up every day, and whatever he did, he walked with God, and he walked with God how? By faith. Abraham walked by faith every day he lived on this earth after God called him out. That's why he's called the father of the faithful. And beloved, he's talking about our ordinary everyday life. And a Christian's life, a believer's life, different from another man. A believer learned to bring faith into everything he does. I believe we bring faith into everything we do. Why wouldn't we bring faith into everything we do? God's in everything we do. We look to God. We trust God. We trust Christ. Huh? Enoch, like I said, he walked with God. He brought faith every day. He got up and he walked by faith. The Muslims, they worship, they got a certain hour that they have to worship and they have to go in a certain direction. And they call it a holy hour. They have an holy hour. Well, to the believer, every hour is holy. Every hour of every day is holy. And we can worship all the time. He don't have to have an hour side, and he don't have to be in a certain place, and he don't have to face a certain direction. He worships all the time. And I tell you, believers and Christians, they don't put religion on Sundays and on holidays, Christmas and Easter, but their religion is an everyday affair. Because it's born of the gift of God, the faith that's the gift of God. Ain't that what Paul said here in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5:5? Now he that hath wrought, worked in us for the self same thing, who hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit, is God. God wrought this in us. How would you live tomorrow? If you get up tomorrow, how are you going to live? Going to live by sight or you going to live by faith? You going to live like the world or you going to live trusting God? That's what faith, walking by faith means. Huh? And then the apostle here, not only does he talk about walking by faith, but he contrasts walking by faith and walking by sight. Look what he says here in verse 7 again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. He contrasts the two, shows the great difference between the two. The natural man and most men, they walk by sight. This is what they say. Seeing is believing. Trust only in what you can see. Let your conscience be your guide. And they love to talk about being a self-made man. Old Spurgeon said, if you ever run across a self-made man, you've run across a very poorly made man. And that's right. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. Oh, my. The title of their book, if they have a book, ever wrote a book, the book would be Self-Reliance. There was a book printed years and years ago, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a man walking by sight. We're walking by faith. And they walk according to the world. And according to the world, the best thing a man can do is have faith in himself. Have faith in himself. There's a preacher said the other day, real famous preacher, got his own television network. He's not a preacher, he's a false prophet. But he said this, that when God made you, he made the greatest thing that was ever made. Learn to love yourself. When he made you, he made the greatest person ever made when he made you. Well, he don't know me. He don't know me. But I tell you, that's what, that, you know, and the best thing that the world tells a man is to have faith in himself and take care of old number one. Be sure and take care of old number one. And the natural man, what he does is he looks on the temporal things that are seen. Ain't that what he says in verse 18 of chapter 4? The natural man looks on the temporal things, things that you can see and handle, taste and touch and handle. While we look not at the things that are seen. See, we're not looking at the things that are seen. We're looking at the things that are not seen. For the things that you can see, they're all temporary. But the things that you don't see, they're eternal. That's why we walk by faith. The natural man, he's not a child of faith. He looks at all the temporal things. The things that are not seen, that's what moves us. Eternal things, things that abide and things that remain. Look what Paul said over here in the Colossians. You know, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Look in Colossians chapter 3. We're dealing with things that's not seen. I've never seen heaven, but I know it's there. I've never seen Christ, but I know he's real. I can't see righteousness, but I have one. I can't see faith, but I've got it. I can't see justification, but I have it. I've never seen anybody come again from the dead except the Lord Jesus Christ by his own power. And I wasn't there when that took place, but I believe in a resurrection. I believe, beloved, that even a minute a person's absent from this body, he immediately goes to be with the Lord. The Spirit does. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to raise that body and present it to himself, change it in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and present it to himself a glorious body. But look what Paul said here about a child of God, what he does. You know, the world's looking at the temporary thing. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Not down here, above. We're Christ. Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We love our children. We love our families. We're very thankful for our homes. We're very thankful for our monies. We're very thankful that we can go and do and prosper. We're very thankful for all those things. But our heart is not on this world. Our heart, this is just a passing place. We're pilgrims and strangers and sojourners. And we're dwelling in a tabernacle. But we set our affections, our hearts up yonder. And look what he says. For you're dead. Dead to the world. Dead to sin. Dead to yourself. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Now listen to it. When Christ, who is our life, do you hear that? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. Where at? In glory. Whatever glory he has, that's the glory we're going to have. Oh my, that's what we're doing. That's why Paul said, if we know that if this earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands like this here. But this house is eternal in the heavens. And the world thinks it's wise for holding on to everything it can. And it can. And they believe a believer, a Christian's a fool. For not just having his heart set on this world and making the most of it he can. But we trust in Christ whom we have never seen. That's what Peter says, you know, whom having never seen, we love. And whom though he seem not now, we believe. And I tell you, when we're back over here in our text, we walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by sight. You know how childish a thing that is to do. It's a childish thing to do. When kids run, you know, kids, they run to you over every little thing. A child judges everything by what it sees. You give them a dime, a little old dime, give them like that, and then turn around and have a new shiny penny. And they'll give you the dime for the penny because the penny's bigger. Give them a dollar or $10 and have a new shiny quarter. I'll give you, you want this new shiny quarter? Yeah, give me that $10. They'll take the, because they go by what their eyes can see. They go by what their eyes can see. Huh? But oh, listen. A child doesn't judge things by their true value, neither does a fool. But the child that has the faith, the child of God who has faith, he does. He knows the value of things in this world. Huh? You know, one time there was You know, the world at one time thought the whole, everybody in the world, everybody thought that the world was flat. And that if you start in a ship and you start going someplace, you'd fall off the end of the world. When they never, you know, if they'd have read the scripture, said God set upon the circle of the earth. But one time, this fellow named Christopher Columbus, he went to the Queen of Spain and said, I believe the world's round. And I'll tell you what, if you give, you provide for me, and I'll go as far as I can possibly go. And they found it. Do you know how people thought the only world they had was the world that they existed in? But there's a great big world out here, and that's what people in this world, the only world they're interested in, is the world that exists for them now. But our world exists outside this world. Our world exists in an unseen world, and you can only see that world and walk in that world and live in that world by faith. Ain't that right? Oh, I want to, oh my. That's why, you know, the things that they can taste and see and handle. I don't want to do that if I can help it. Oh, walking by faith. Let me tell you, well, walking by sight. There's a difference between walking by faith and walking by sight. Walking by sight is low. That's a low, grumbling thing. But walking by faith is noble and God-honoring. The most God-honoring thing a person can do in this world is to believe God. To believe God. That man that's walking by sight, he honors the flesh. That man walking by faith, he honors God. One lives for the world, the other lives for another world. One makes materialism great gain. And possessions to be everything. And when the worms start devouring the body, will it ever know the difference? Will it know the difference? But that believer, that man who walks by faith, he makes the unseen things to be true possessions. Faith is a true possession. That's a true possession. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sin. What a possession to have. And God gives that to us, and we believe that. And yet we know that we're nothing but sin, but yet we know we're forgiven of sin. And repentance in Christ, oh, God gave us Christ. God gave us righteousness. One grovels for this world down here. The other, he lives from above. One believes the man walking beside, he believes self is all. The other believes God is all and Christ is all. And how ignorant is it to believe only what you can see? Oh my, how ignorant is it to believe only what you can see? But faith, I'm telling you, faith comprehends all things. This is my Father's world. I told you that story several times. I know I have. I was over, and I was standing outside a store way over in Bledsoe County over towards Spencer. And I tell you that I got out and I was standing there, you know, and bought some gas and stuff. And I was standing out there and said, boy. It sure is pretty. I hadn't been down here but about a year or so, year and a half. And I said, oh, what a beautiful country this is. And the thing, it all belongs to my Father. This fellow heard me say that and he said, well, I said, no, that don't belong to your father. I don't know who your daddy is, but I know who belongs to that land. I know who owns that land. I said, he may think he owns it, but that's my father. And he said, who is he? I said, God. This is my Father's world. It is. It's my Father's world. And I tell you, that's what faith comprehends. This is, listen, these are my Father's trials. These are my Father's troubles. These are my father's afflictions. My father's the one that said, these come from my father. My father, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We don't want to, nobody loves to go through trials. Nobody loves to see their children suffer. Nobody likes to hurt in their bodies. But yet we say, this is my father gave this to me. And all to have some understanding of your own nature and the true nature of things in this world. If you only walk by sight and only believe what you see, then what can you believe? What do you believe? Huh? And I tell you, walking by sight is a very, very deceptive way of walking. Very deceptive way of walking. Things ain't often as they appear to be. Things don't always appear as they're not often as they appear to be. God doesn't judge by the appearance and the way things look. A man has to learn a lot before he can see things right. But those who listen to me, those who walk by faith, they're never deceived. That man walking beside, who's he going to go to when he's in trouble? When we walk by faith, you know where we go? We're never deceived because we've got three people walking with us everywhere we go. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And goodness and mercy is walking around behind us. Ain't that right? Oh, listen. But oh, God, we got God to go to. We got His Word. We got His promises. And we got a refuge. When we get in trouble, we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and hide in Him. And sight, walking by sight is a very changeable thing. As long as it's light and you can see good, you can walk good. But what happens when you can't see, when it's dark? It's fine to talk living in the present. But what's it going to be like when you're laying on your dying bed? That's just as present as any present you've ever going to live in. When death comes to deny you everything you have and everything you see and everything you hold dear, what are you going to walk beside then? If sight's all you ever have, that's the way you're going to die. But if you have faith, and you come down to your dying bed, you can say, oh, listen, I'm going to be not naked anymore. I'm going to be clothed upon with that eternal home, that eternal house, that blessed building of God. Oh, and I tell you what, that faith can walk in the dark, but sight can't. Faith can walk when it can't see nothing. Faith looks and trusts in the unseen and the invisible God and rejoices in a God who is invisible. That's why Paul says we are confident of this one thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I tell you what, walking by faith and walking by sight, those who walk by sight, they end up walking alone. Walking alone. Walking by sight is this. I believe in myself. Walking by faith, I believe God. Sight says, I'll do this and I'll do that. Faith says, if God wills, I'll do this and I'll do that. It's not me doing something and then Christ enable me. It's just Christ and Him alone. And Him alone. And when you walk by sight, if trouble comes, who you going to run to? Someone just like yourself. Someone as weak as yourself. But walking by faith, we go to God who said, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. And I'll love you to the end. And I'll come and take you where I am, that where I am, you can come be with me too. When you walk by sight, You got to go to somebody just like yourself. When you walk beside, you have to get your own wisdom and judgment and strength to guide you. To be your own deliverer, to be your own comfort, to be your own helper. But those who walk by faith know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. And when the storm comes, and it comes, our Lord Jesus say, be of good cheer, it is I, and He'll come walking to you on the storm. He ain't never failed us yet. And let me tell you, I hope I ain't taking too long, but walking by faith and walking by sight, these things can't never mix. And let me explain what I mean. Walking by sight and walking by faith can never mix. Let me explain what I mean. I believe God loves me. I've prospered ever since I've been a Christian. What's wrong with that statement? You're walking by faith and sight at the same time. You can't do that. What if God had not prospered you? Does this mean that God doesn't love you? There's a lot of people in this world never get prospered. There's people down there, there's lots of believers in this world that they have very, very little. Either the way to say that is, I believe God loves me. And I thank Him for what He's done for me. Instead of connecting what you have by being a Christian. Thank God for what you got because God gave it to you. And if you ain't got something, thank God you don't have it, because if you meant to have it, you'd have it. Faith says, I believe God. And He said, he that believes on the Son of God hath life, and I'm a son of God. And listen to this. God says in His word, I'm His child. And this is what this is walking by faith is. God says in His word, I'm His child. Whether I'm rich or poor, healthy or sick, these things are out of sight. I don't bring them into the equation. We as faith and believers, we stand on the naked word of God. If you calculate your standing before God on any temporal circumstances, you're walking by sight and not by faith. I'll tell you, that's what preachers have done years ago. I used to be in, and I done it myself. Oh, listen, if you don't live this way, God will do that to you. And if God, you don't walk that way, God's going to do this to you. And you know you're going to pay for this if you do that. And you know they based everything, all your blessings, on what you do and what you wouldn't do. But now our blessings are all based on Christ. I believed in Christ, but I'm afraid I'm not saved. I feel so depressed and unhappy. Another says, I know I've trusted Christ. I'm sure I'm saved because I feel so happy. Both them statements are wrong. Both of them are. When you say you've trusted Christ, that's great. That's good. But to say the other's walking by sight. If I believe on Christ, I'm saved no matter what. Whether I'm happy, depressed, up, down, in, out, whatever I'm going through, I'm saved. If you believe Christ, I have lots of days I'm happy and they're great days. And I have days that I just feel like I could just crawl in a hole. You don't have days like that. I know you don't. You have days when you don't want to see nobody, don't want to talk to nobody. When the phone rings, I ain't answering it. And then you have other days where you're just dancing in the spirit. You just love. But it's Christ. Our feelings never supposed to enter into it. If we believe on Christ, we're saved no matter what. There's therefore not condemnation to them that are where? In Christ. You reckon Paul was floating on them boards out there in the ocean for 3 days one time? He said, "Woo-wee, God must really, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I must have really messed up, you know, to be out here in the middle of this ocean floating on this board. No. Him and Silas was in jail and just got beat half to death. And at midnight they began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."
And that's what I'm talking about. To walking by sight and walking by faith, they don't mix. There's a great difference between feeling and believing. What's our title to glory? One of these days, every evidence that we've ever had will be taken from us one day. And the only thing that will sustain us is God's word, and we'll say, "It is written." How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And if we walk by faith, see that you walk by the right faith. And where do you get that at? Only from God. Only in Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And what is faith's object? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. His covenant, his righteousness, his blood, and his work. How do you walk? By faith or by sight?
Our Father. Oh, our Father. Thank you for your precious, precious word. Oh, God, to live on the bare, naked word of God. I know we have feelings. I know we have ups and downs, aggravations and vexations and troubles, sorrows and griefs. But we also have joys and rejoicing. And peace and rest, all based on what your word says. We thank you for your word. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the faith that you gave to us, that we had nothing to do with it, and you gave it to us by your grace, and you made Christ to be the object of our faith. To whom we look, we constantly continue to look to him and him alone. God, enable us to honor you, live to your glory. Forgive us of everything that's unlike you. Every time we've walked by sight and been deceived, God, have mercy on us and help us always to live and look to you, for Christ's sake. Amen.